So here in Fringe Central with Tommy Croft, who I encountered last year when I heard for the first time in my life the words Jolly Boat. Yeah. And what I'm hearing now is there are queues around the corner for the biggest free Fringe show here in Edinburgh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, all right, I can't officially say it's the biggest, but it's very big. We're getting 100 or 150 people per day, and it's just exceeding our expectations, all word of mouth, and it's... yeah, blown us away.
In some of my interviews, I ask you to try and do this. This is the exercise in objectivity. So I want you to have an out-of-body experience, Tommy. Become a Fringe Review reviewer of yourself and tell us why there are queues around the corner for this show.
All right, it's a very fun and energetic show, and it appeals to a wide range of people. And it's just continuously feel-good. It's me and my brother. There's like a really natural chemistry there. And we love doing it. And I think that really comes across to people. And so it's just very, very positive, very fun. You leave, go out the door sort of singing along a little bit and just having had an uplifting experience. And I think that's what people want to tell other people about. Possibly.
And what can brothers do creatively together that, say, friends can't?
Apart from argue. No, we don't argue too much. We're actually pretty good at not arguing. We've got all the same influences and a lot of the same philosophy, worldview, everything. So we get each other's ideas, you know, in that sort of twin-type way. It's like two minds working as one. It just makes us very good improvisers together and very good writers together because we understand very quickly.
So, start with improvisers. Take me into your rehearsal room.
Good question. We mostly don't rehearse as such. We'll write by, like, maybe having a little jam together, but then one of us will write a thing, pass it over, and just kind of cut ties to it, and the other one will elaborate it into a longer piece, pass it back, and, you know, each time we pass it over, we could try and let go as much as possible, let the other person add their slant to it, you know, take out what doesn't work, kill all our babies, well, not all, but hopefully, yeah, take out the things that just improve, and we trust each other very much to improve.
And why did you choose improvisation rather than scripted comedy?
The show isn't improvised, but it's scripted comedy. We both do improv as well, but yeah,
I guess I meant in that rehearsal process too, because it sounds like you bounce off each other and play. No one sat down, written something, and handed it to be learned.
Yeah. There's a mix of the two. In that, yeah, there's a lot of bouncing and playing, but then sometimes once we've got an idea, we'll actually research and do a lot of, like, sometimes you'll be elaborating a list and we'll do that quite cerebrally and then kind of bring it back. And in performance, it's all about play and improvisation and, you know, just seeing what works with the audience, and that can be very different from your script.
People can hear, probably listening into this, my voice is nearly going from doing so many interviews here at the Edinburgh Fringe. One of the questions I've asked a lot has been around when there's music and comedy together. How do you get the balance right? You know, how much music and how much actual spoken word?
That's a good question, and a balance that I guess we're still finding, maybe? I don't know. I've always been very insistent on a really high gag rate. So, at least traditionally, in a Jolly Boat song, every couplet is a joke, without exception. And sometimes there's two jokes, you know, one per line, but there should be very, very fast set up punchline, all the way through songs. And some songs really deviate from that. We like to keep all the songs very unique, but it's mostly that, and even the choruses will try and make sure they change every time they come back, just to bring in a little bit of extra comedy. And we don't do too much. The music's there behind it, and the music's there to sort of drive the energy, and there's not too much, like Tim Minchin will depart from comedy just to do a long solo or something. and we don't do that as much. We might do audience join-in and things that raise the energy, but it's all energy and gags.
We're actually sharing a table here with Philip Hutchinson, who plays Oliver Hardy in a different Fringe show. Comedy's speeded up since the days of Laurel and Hardy, hasn't it? I mean, you're talking about, you know, wanting gags to come thick and fast. Why do you think that is? Is it because of we're the media generation and everyone's impatient?
Yes, it's exactly that. It's because you can switch on the internet and just get a stream of continuous information, and that's what people are used to. It's really hard to sit through a long film for younger people unless every scene and every line is crafted to deliver actual content of some sort or a new thought. And that's what we expect from entertainment. And yeah, that's what entertains me. So that's what I've sort of done naturally without really overthinking it. But yeah, I think you're quite right. It has sped up, and that's what's expected.
And if a gag hasn't got the laughs you thought it would, are you all busy sort of dropping it the next night, or do you have the courage to stick to it?
No courage at all. It gets dropped. I don't know if that's a lack of courage. I don't know. We'll try it out 2-3 times, and even if we love it, one of our early kind of... We used to play at an open mic, and the guy who ran it just came over and he said, "Murder your babies," which is what I was saying a minute ago. What he meant is that sometimes you get really attached to a line, you love it, the audience doesn't love it, you should cut it. And so since that time, yeah, we've vigorously cut continuously. So yeah, if it doesn't work, it goes out and it gets replaced by something that does.
Do you think that there's a different reaction when the audience is a free Fringe audience, when you're paying on the way out rather than on the way in? Do you notice the difference up here?
A different reaction? I don't know. At least from us, we're sort of aware that we've got to keep the show, but we can't have a dip because they haven't paid yet. So yeah, we're continuously trying to make sure everyone's happy or at least entertained, not always the same thing, all the way through. So even if they're offended, we want them to be very offended, and when we want to bring them back round a bit with some cheeky charm.
So you guys are really playing for your supper.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that. I like the evolutionary process of it. I like the fact that we're on the edge and we have to really work for it, and it stops us getting lazy, which we definitely would otherwise.
I'm now on the ocean. I'm looking at the horizon, or maybe it's a river. But so where's the jolly boat heading?
Good question. Like, I suppose eventually we want to be doing tours of our own, like, theatre-promoted shows. And we love doing festivals. We'd like to keep doing as many festivals as possible. And perhaps one day up the musicality and transfer onto music stages, as well as just sort of doing the comedy bits, which are often less well-attended. And, yeah, there's just a great buzz to having a big crowd, so...
Tommy Croft, thanks very much indeed.